Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show. And today we have a very special person. We have Brianna Sorensko. Sorry, I promised myself I was going to get it right. Sorensko, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I've been blind since birth. I was born at 23 weeks, 5 months early.
Wow.
Because of the high levels of oxygen in the incubators that is needed to keep the babies alive, it damages the retinas and causes some issues with the blood vessels and causes the retinas to detach. Now they cover the baby's eyes, so there's less of a chance of that happening. But I guess 29 years ago when I was born, they didn't know that. So,
but you know, they sort of did, because a lot of the people who were born in the 50s and 60s, that was a problem because those incubators were new. And it took them all those years to understand that. Even Stevie Wonder, he's got the same thing. That's why he is blind.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. But that, you know what? That just, in a way, it makes me a little angry, because all those years that they had to figure it out. But anyway, let's move on. I want to stop it here. So.
I'm very blessed that I grew up with a very supportive family. Went to public school, had a few blind friends from school and summer camp, but most of my friends were sighted. Had a really great support system in the schools with vision teachers and orientation and mobility teachers teaching me how to read and write Braille and how to travel safely. I do read Braille. I use a cane. I have some vision in my left eye, light perception, light and dark, colors, shapes, shadows, depending on the lighting and how close it is to my face. But I don't have a lot of usable vision to do a whole lot with, but it's nice to have. Totally blind in my right eye. I, like I said, I went to public school, graduated, went off to college and studied elementary and special education, then got my master's in reading education.
Oh, wow.
I've been,
do you read Braille?
I do. Yes.
Oh, that's great. And now you're working with the Division of Blind Services in West Palm Beach?
I am, yes. I taught for 7 years in a variety of positions, from pre-K to high school and young adults, both disabled and non-disabled students. And just teaching wasn't really working out for me at the time. So I was looking for something else. And I am still open to going back in the classroom if the right opportunity presented itself. And I do have some case management work, where I worked for a nonprofit for a little while, for about a year. So when I saw that DBS had a position available and I was able to arrange transportation, I decided to apply. I think that because of my own experiences, with blindness myself, I can better identify with my clients and really kind of understand what they're going through.
Well, most definitely, I would imagine that. What do you think the biggest thing is that people have to understand about blindness?
Well, really, the first few things that came to my mind were just, you know, we're just like everybody else. We may do things differently, but you don't have to be afraid of us. We want to be treated like everyone else. And yes, there are some things that we're not able to do. And, you know, we may ask for help with, but the majority of things we are able to do just with accommodations. And I know, like, your show is based about cooking, and people always find it really interesting that I can cook.
Because you eat, right?
Right. I love to eat. So, you know.
One of those things that blind people do too.
Yeah. There's just different ways in the kitchen to, whether that's using Braille measuring cups and spoons, or like to know if the water's boiling, you can hear the sound. In the case of my baked spaghetti recipe, I knew that the meat was done when I stirred around in the pan and it was drier feeling to my spoon. I do have my oven labeled with bump dots and Braille labels on the buttons that I need. Same with appliances if needed. There's just different accommodations, and people find it fascinating, but I guess to the sighted world it is very interesting. So
it is, but what's funny is it is interesting, but sighted people are so afraid to ask questions because they think that it's offensive to ask questions. What do you think about that?
Oh, I always say, ask me anything. I do not get offended easily. I definitely have a sense of humor. I feel like you kind of have to. definitely don't take myself too seriously. So bump into stuff a lot, laugh it off. It's life. It is what it is. So I'm open to any questions. I think there has never been a question. If you say, can I ask you a question? Odds are I have probably been asked it before. Like,
sure. What do you think the question is that you've been asked the most about your blindness?
I'm thinking,
well, you said about the eating or about the cooking. What do they think about that? Like, are they worried you're going to burn yourself or something?
Not really. I haven't really gotten a whole lot of questions about that. It's more just, you know, how are you able to do these things? And I explain it, or, oh, how do you know where the burner is on the stove if it's a flat top? Oh, well, you feel the heat around it and you center your pot based on where the heat is. I think a lot of people, you know, I get a lot of the question of, do you have any usable vision? And like I explained earlier, I explain what it is and how it works. And people always think it's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool, you know? It's like,
well, you know, that is great. Cause you do, you have, it sounds like you've got like a really great sense of humor and things. What is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you because of your blindness?
Funniest thing.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Why my mind is blanking right now, but
okay.
I think I'm trying I always find it really funny when people ask me to like look at something and I'm like, I can't, I'm blind, and then they feel really bad and I'm like, no, like it's fine, it's cool, I'm not offended at all. I think I think the funniest thing is for my 21st birthday, my parents always promised to take me to Las Vegas, and they delivered on that promise. And I went to order a drink at the bar, and the guy, my dad was with me, and the guy says, oh, is she with you? And he goes, yeah, she's my daughter. And he goes, oh, well, she needs to be cut off. And he was like, why? She's had one drink. Like, there's nothing wrong with her. And he was like, well, she's not making eye contact with us.
And oh no.
My dad still tells this story to this day. My dad goes, well, sir, she's blind. And I piped up and I said, yes, I'm sorry. You're not going to get any eye contact with me, but I promise you, I've barely drank anything. I'm fine. Like, and he was like, oh, well, that's not cool, because eye contact is how we know if someone has had too much. And I said, oh, well, you're not going to get that from, you know, anyone who is a total blind person. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Really. It was just really funny. So.
Well, you know, that's really wild. I've never even heard of that. I never thought about that. I was a bartender in college for like a year, but I never thought about the eye contact part. I mean, like somebody wobbling around maybe. Or if you were like walking into things or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, I never thought of it either.
I know. Well, you know what? I've been to Las Vegas and I found it hard to get around being a sighted person. How did you find it getting around? How what was that like?
I was with my family a lot, so I just walked with them. Sure. In general, you know, if I'm familiar with an area, then I get around fine, although I do tend to bump into things. Like my house, my work, I do not need my cane around. For those, I get that question a lot. Do you use your cane around your house? I'm like, no, I don't need to. That said, I still will bump into things. But if I'm in an unfamiliar area, I'll either ask for directions, ask for help, or ask for sighted guide. Or I'll just find it myself, then find where I need to go
what
myself.
What a concept.
And it's all good.
Well, tell us a little bit about your job at the Division of Florida Division of Blind Services.
Sure. So I'm a DBS counselor, vocational rehabilitation counselor. I mostly work with ages 13 to 18, the transition group of kids, so the kids in middle and high school, although I do have a good number of adult clients now that are either working or looking for work. And our main goal is to help blind people obtain and maintain employment, whether that's helping them job search or create a resume to taking classes with a local nonprofit that we contract with, the Lighthouse for the Blind, to maybe gain computer skills or independent living skills, cooking and cleaning, or if they're a teenager, just getting them out in the community with other teenagers who are blind in our area and teaching them how to travel, how to interact with people, that they can do these things. You know, despite their blindness. So
what is the biggest hurdle you have in trying to get an employer to employ a person who's blind?
Speaking from my own personal experience, I have been on hundreds and hundreds of interviews. And I think a lot of people just have preconceived notions about what we can and can't do. And even when we explain it, they still don't seem to either understand or are willing to let us, willing to let us try to do the job. I think it's just people's assumptions, people's preconceived notions, and not willing to learn what really anyone with a disability can do and what they're capable of. And I would like to say that there's no discrimination in this world nowadays, but unfortunately there is a lot, especially with those who are visually impaired. But I think in the disabled community overall, it's really hard to find employment for anyone with a disability, which is really sad, because a lot of times, because of us having to work harder at our jobs or just working hard to make accommodations for us to be able to complete our jobs, we work harder than the sighted or non-disabled coworkers that we work with.
Well, I think there's also a huge loyalty factor too among people who are blind or visually impaired or you know, whatever disability. It seems like there's, you know, a greater loyalty. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially if an employer is willing to give you a chance, that just means so much to me personally. And I think I can speak for most disabled people with any kind of disability, whether it's physical or mental or maybe a learning disability, just to have an employer willing to look past your disability and see not what you can't do, but what you can do. It means so much to me, and I'm sure I can speak for everyone when just being able to have being given that chance, like it means a whole lot to me.
Well, most definitely. That's wonderful. Say, so you are you a cook or are you a baker? Which one are you more?
Well, I tell it honestly, I don't do a whole lot of cooking and baking that much just because my dad's a chef, so I don't
Oh, you're cheating now.
But I tell you, I do like cooking for other people. I don't like so much cooking for myself. I don't know. It's just not as fun or as enjoyable, but I do like being creative and trying different recipes. But I do get more excitement over just being able to bless people with food and with a meal and just being able to entertain them in a way. I think being a person who's very artistic, I sing and play piano and guitar, and I think cooking kind of falls into the being artistic and creative category, and they kind of go together. So enjoy making people happy. And even the other week when I made the baked spaghetti, that was actually I kind of planned it in advance. My parents were going to be out of town and I wanted to surprise them so that they didn't have to come home and make dinner or pick up dinner. And so the day before they were supposed to come, I just prepared everything in advance and we just had to bake it in the oven. And my dad really enjoyed that he didn't have to cook that night. So,
well, give us your recipe for your baked spaghetti. You were cooking without looking's recipe of the day yesterday, and people can go catch that recipe at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com, and they can go to the blog and they can find your recipe for baked spaghetti. But tell us what it is.
Sure. So I just went online and looked up easy, like one pot recipes or something like that. And the recipe actually didn't call for any ground beef or any veggies. I decided to add those in. I was going to use my family's homemade tomato sauce in the freezer because we make our own sauce, being half Italian. But
authentic.
And I could have used an app to help me, but I didn't feel like it. So I just bought some jarred sauces and I boiled the water. I cooked the spaghetti. While the spaghetti was cooking, I crushed up the ground beef and put it in a pan and sauteed it. And after it was kind of been cooking for a while, I had set the time on my Alexa for 7 minutes for the pasta. So after the meat had been cooking for a while, I added some of the jarred gravy. I'm from New Jersey. Sorry, we say gravy.
That's okay. Just perfectly fine.
I grew up in Florida, but I was born in Jersey, and that's what my family's always called it. So I added some of that to the meat to give it some flavor. You could add herbs if you wanted to. I personally chose to make it easy and picked sauces with this stuff already in it. And then I had I had already pre-cut up some green beans and asparagus, and I added that in there. You typically want to blanch the asparagus, which is you put it in some hot water, let it boil for a few minutes, and then put it in cold water to make it cool off, but stop cooking so that it, you know, don't have to cook it as long. But I didn't do that because I figured it was going to be baking in the oven and it would cook. So I added my cut asparagus and green beans to the meat mixture and added the rest of the sauce. I let them saute, and as I was letting it saute, I was stirring it around, feeling that the meat was drier to the touch of my spoon. So I knew that was done. And every time I would check the veggies, they either were a little crunchy, so I knew they weren't done. So as that was sauteing, I strained the pasta and scooped it into a pan. I should have layered it more, like put pasta and then some of the meat and veggies and then more pasta and like that, but I didn't do that. But anyway, I put the pasta in, and then I put the meat mixture and veggies layered on top, and then I added the rest of the sauce, added another, or no, then I added a layer of ricotta cheese on top of that in the pan, and then I added a 3 cheese pasta sauce, a whole jar of that on top of that, and I topped it with mozzarella and left it in the pan in the fridge till we were ready to eat it and bake it, and baked it, and it came out really well, and I was pretty proud of it. Like I said, next time I'll layer it better.
Well, you know, it all sort of comes together anyway, so
yeah.
As my mom used to say, it all comes together on your fork and in your stomach. So
that's true.
So let me see. What kind of philosophy do you have about living with your blindness that you want others to understand?
I guess that blind people just want to be treated like everyone else. If you're inviting a group out, invite them too. I've even had trouble volunteering with organizations because people don't think I can do anything or are nervous to let me do anything. So if, you know, you have someone that just wants to volunteer, like let them do it and let them figure out how they can do a task. If you're, out with a bunch of friends, maybe invite that person, that disabled person, with you. They want to hang out with people just as much as anyone else, and they're usually very hard workers, and they're usually a lot of fun to hang out with and a lot of fun to be around. And if they need help, they will ask for it. But also, if you think they might need help, ask them. If they say no, I don't need help, then they don't need help. But if they say yes, thank you for asking, then you can help them. But don't just assume they need help. But also, if it looks like they need help and they're not asking, then ask them, because sometimes they might be afraid to ask for help, or they don't know how. A lot of blind people will struggle with self-advocacy, which is definitely something I had to learn over the years. It's definitely something that doesn't come naturally to me. But I've had to learn it over the years with jobs, with school, with,
tell us a little bit about that. How did you learn self-advocacy, and explain a little bit for our audience what that is?
Sure. I mean, the way I define self-advocacy is more just advocating for yourself and letting people know what you need and then working to get that. Whether that's, you know, a ride somewhere, that's definitely a struggle for me when I don't have a friend or family member or access to public transportation, finding a ride somewhere, having to continuously ask people for rides can be frustrating, but it's just what I have to do. If you're in school and you need a specific accommodation, extra time on maybe a test, get with the resources that your school offers to allow you to have that accommodation, and then talk to your teacher, your professor, whoever, about that accommodation so they understand it. If you need, an accommodation at work, same thing, talk to your supervisor, tell them what you need. Even just something as simple as I was out to dinner few months ago with a group of friends, and there wasn't a lot of room on the table, and I wanted to scoop my what I was taking home into the to-go box, and I was trying to figure out how to do it independently. And I was thankful that a friend of mine asked me, can I help? And I said, yes, please, I was gonna ask you for help. So even just something as simple as that. So I hope that answered your question.
No, it does. It was great, Brianna. Well, Brianna, if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they contact you?
Sure. Do people usually do email or phone or
whatever you want, whatever's good for you?
Well, my email address is capital MS.BRIANNA, Miss Brianna 1206 at gmail.com. You can tell I work with kids. My phone number is 772-285-7906. You can call or text me. My Facebook is just my name, Brianna, B-R-I-A-N-N-A, and then Serensko, S-C. E-R-E-N-S-C-K-O. And you can follow me on Twitter at, what's my Twitter handle? At Brianna _ S92, and the B and the S are capitalized. Sorry, that was a lot of information.
But no, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Brianna, for being with us today. We really appreciate it. You've got a great attitude. You're like sunshine here. So thank you so much for taking time out of your workday to be with us. We appreciate the Florida Division of Blind Services for allowing you to do that. And for our audience, if you'd like to reach out to us, our website is www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. We have a YouTube channel. It's Cooking Without Looking. And you can hear our podcast anywhere you get your podcast, and on Alexa-enabled devices. Thank you again. And thank you, Brianna, for helping us change the way we see blindness. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Of course.